to the book of Galatians. We want to look at a few verses here briefly. In Galatians chapter number 6. Very important doctrinal letter. It's an epistle to not one church, but a region of churches. A whole region of them. And so it's especially applicable. This is what you would call a fundamental epistle. It's not to one church, it's a region of churches. All endangered with the same danger, and that is misty or compromising the message of grace. And we'll just pick up the end of it. Verse number 11, Paul says, "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." In the region of Galatia, Paul had preached the gospel there and told the people how that Christ had died and been buried and rose again according to the scriptures, and they could have salvation by pure grace through simple faith. He was followed up by some teachers who said, not so. It is true, they say, Christ died for our sins. It is true that he was buried. It is true that he rose again. It is not true that that alone will save you. You must add these other rituals, circumcision being the leading one, and included many more besides that one. But that one would be sum up many others. Well, Paul writes this epistle, a thundering epistle, and here is a famous verse, and we have a famous song in our hymn book written based on this verse number 14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. People have pointed out that it's helpful to put ourselves back in the place of the original hearers when we seek to interpret the scripture. So imagine being in one of these Galatian churches. I put modern Turkey there in your hand up, but I've come to think of it, I think it's across the Mediterranean in Europe, but around France. But anyway, is over there. And imagine that some visitors come in who are unfamiliar with the message and unfamiliar with the teachings. Some of them are Romans, some of them are Jews, and they come in and said, we're going to sit in on this service tonight. And they hear the epistle to the Galatians read, which is how they would probably do the service. Somebody would stand up and read the epistle, and then they would comment on it and so forth. So when they hear this passage, God forbid, or literally it means, may it never be that I should glory save in the cross. In those days, they wouldn't be just a little puzzled or a little surprised to hear someone say in those days, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. They would be absolutely appalled. What do you mean, glorying in a cross? A Roman citizen glorying in a cross, and Paul was a Roman citizen. Maybe that's why they cut his head off instead of putting him on a cross. He was a Roman citizen, and they were that much consistent. But you remember, we've looked at this before, including this morning, that the most agonizing way to die would be to die by the cross. Nothing more shameful, totally excruciating. In fact, there's no Roman citizens were crucified. None. Only felons and non-Romans. And the Jewish people, what did they think about this? Well, people who hung on trees in death were cursed of God. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, Deuteronomy says, repeating Galatians. And they would say, did you just say what I think you said, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory or boast to take satisfaction in a cross? Did you say that? And he said that. And Paul said, be followers of me. So we want to look briefly about why this would be the case. Now, the effect is practically all people have something in which they glory, something they extol, something they're satisfied with. They would confidently commend this to somebody else to consider. And Paul, of course, this is no ordinary person. He had a remarkable choice of things he could glory in before his conversion and afterwards. He'd been to the third heaven, don't forget. That would be something to glory in. But Paul says, I glory in the cross. And we want to consider just briefly why. Why did Paul glory in the cross? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice your handout. The cross reveals the justice of God. Every person here tonight, every person in the world tonight, has a conscience. And deep or not so deep in every man's conscience is the knowledge that sin ought to be punished. From when children are small, you can watch this in the nursery before they can verbalize one legible word. Those little tykes, before they can walk, before they can talk, can look at your facial expression and know they're in trouble, they say. And they know, they're little scientists, how to test the borders, where too far it is. And that's because that little chap has a conscience. And the fact is, God put it there. And our conscience tells us when we do wrong that punishment is right. And we help a kid be normal by administering a proper amount of punishment for a proper crime, commensurate. You help people be normal that way. Justice should go forth. Goodness insists on it. I don't know who said this, but it sounds very right and helpful. If sin becomes a trifle, virtue becomes a toy, nothing really matters. But the cross reveals the justice of God. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess our sins. And we see the justice of God there. It helps us to understand God is a just God and that He is not going to carry out justice on us personally. The cross reveals the justice of God. Flip over on the next page. And the cross, why did He glory in a cross? A cross-faced man sometimes would hang on these things for days. Some of them for several days would hang in there, hang on those awful things, writhing in agony and probably terrible groanings. And crosses were pretty common. They put to death quite a number of people. And here is someone glorying in a cross. Well, the cross reveals the justice of God, but the cross also reveals the love of God. Here is the offended dying as the offender or dying for the offender. Now that is astonishing. God who cannot lie, God who cannot be but what He is, and dying for us, the offenders. The cross reveals the love of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, He said in Galatians 2:20. He loved me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And He talked about Christ loving him and giving Himself for him. Love wills the good of its object. So this Christ going to the cross for us is an expression of His goodwill to you. What more can He say? What more can He do to convince us of His goodwill, is loving kindness.
Love warns us. And you know, your
kids get old enough to ride or drive, and you warn them and say, watch out at the corner, watch out, watch out. And
you're warning them because you're interested in their well-being.
You love them.
Love makes provision and warns for threatening danger.
So don't frustrate the love of God. Glory in the cross. If you turn back just a page to Galatians 2:20, we quote 20 a lot, and we should. It's a glorious verse and summarizes a lot. But also look, please, at verse 21. After he talks in verse 20 about who loved me at the end there, the Son of God who loved me, gave himself, proved his love by giving himself for me on a cross. And verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I just take it as a gift and don't try and make myself worthy of it. Folks, don't try to make yourself worthy. You're fine right now. What he desires is you to believe. Simple faith. You believe that? How many of you believe God loves you? Say amen. Yes, otherwise, why else would he die on the cross? The cross reveals the love of God. Turn back to Galatians 6. Well, I'm sorry, turn to Colossians chapter number 1. Through the cross, why did he glory in the cross? Number 3, through the cross, guilt is replaced by peace. Regret is replaced with rest. For example, look at this in Colossians 1:20. Well, look at verse 19. Who is this one again on the cross? For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, the fullness of the Godhead. All those stars belong to him, every last one of them, and he calls them by name. And this great God, verse 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, to reconcile all things to himself. Peace through the blood of his cross. Through the cross, guilt is replaced by peace. We've done many things wrong. Verse 20 says we were sometimes alienated and enemies in our mind through wicked works. And I don't even like to think of trying to count them all. But they're there. But they've all been canceled through the blood of the cross. Do you see that? Is there any doubt in your mind there? Having made peace through the blood of his cross. And so, if he has absorbed the full guilt, why should you be bearing it? If he's nailed it to his cross, why should you carry it around? Through the cross, guilt is replaced. And what about all those difficulties? What about all the things we've messed up in the past? What about all those opportunities that we didn't take? Well, those are real. But on the other hand, don't forget this. The person in Christ has Christ's past. Do you believe that? That God looks at you tonight, if you're in Christ, you're believing on his Son, that he reckons you to have his past. The person in Christ has Christ's past. And God's not going to collect twice, and he is always the God of new beginnings. Look at number 4. In Galatians 6:15, it talks about a new creature. In Christ Jesus, in living union with Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creature. That does avail. And through the cross, through the cross is a manifestation of the power of God. When you have strep throat or bad infection, you say, I hope the doctor would give me some free samples. That's what I like. Free samples. And I like those. But whatever we get, whether we buy it or get it for free, we hope that this stuff is strong enough to do the job. So I want a strong antibiotic. And in the cross, you know, there's many things people are trying to do tonight to fix their problems, their troubles. But the cross has strength, and through the power of the cross, God manifests his strength to make new creatures, criminals into honest people, liars into truthful people, and the power of God. Look at this verse. You don't have to turn to it for time. I'll just read it right off your head out there. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. And I mentioned foolishness. I mentioned at the beginning, if here's some visitors that come to a congregation and they don't, Roman citizens and Jews, and said, we just heard about this new sect called Christianity. We were wondering what it's about. And they come in and say, well, here's our lead, the human leader, Paul, is talking about glorying in a cross. And they would say, that sounds like, if I ever heard foolishness, that, now that tops it. Well, to them it's foolishness, but not to us. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. So he gloried in it. God manifests his power through the cross. And then finally, turn please back to Galatians 6. And the doctrine of grace through the cross separates people. He gloried in the cross. Because the right knowledge of this, of the doctrine of grace through the cross, separates people. Notice, please, this. He says in verse 14, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Paul used to be, like you and I used to be, of the world. He was born here. And now he says, but no more. The whole world system to me is now crucified to me. It has lost its charm. It has... It is no charm in anything it has to offer, especially relative to behaviors and modifying behaviors, fixing behaviors, moral standards, moral motives and methods, techniques, therapies, ceremonies, all that stuff. Especially their versions. It's a religious epistle. And he says just their whole way the world goes about religion, all of it, just all of it, pales beneath the cross, and it's crucified to me. It is a final Xing out and removal. It separates. Their version of success, their criteria for success to me now has all the appeal of a corpse. Nothing is less appealing than a corpse of someone writhing on one of these crosses. And he says, all their stuff, their criteria, their methods, their techniques for fixing things, all of that stuff to me, it's all crucified. The whole world religious system, it's all crucified to me. It's unpalatable. Not now that I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. But how about this also, the separation? And I unto the world. Now, Paul had lots of associations and lots of friends before he became the Apostle Paul. And he was separated for them. I am no charm to them anymore based on what I now believe. There's a great gulf. Don't think it means that Paul was socially unfriendly or didn't have any attempt to be friends with his former friends. I'm sure it was just the opposite, that he did want as much as he could. But you get the point. When, as some of you know this very poignantly, that since you're a Christian, your old buddies, there's just nothing there. There's nothing there. There's so little in common. And it's kind of like they look at you now as having done something like somebody moved to the North Pole to live in an igloo and analyze snowflakes as they come down and see just it looks so hopelessly absurd. It's foolishness to them to follow the Lord. But it's not foolishness to us. The fact is, this separates people. The cross is an offense. Folks, it's not an offense when somebody says, now, are you a religious person? You say, oh, yes. Yes, and I believe in Jesus. And also, we have all these other things that are, we have our pastor recommends psychotherapy, and we have water baptism, and we have all these other rites and other things. We don't just, we're not depending just on the cross. And you know, when you tell people, my salvation rests on the cross alone, Christ alone, now that's an offense to the modern mind. You say, are you saying to me that I have, if I'm going to be right with God, I have to trust in a man who was crucified on a bloody cross? Are you telling me that's how you get right with God? Yes, that's exactly what we're saying. And folks, that's an offense to the modern mind. Don't you give it up. It separates. How many of you are glad that
for the doctrine of the cross. Say amen. Children.